What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
From Minnesota to corporate America, the nation reacts to the Derek Chauvin guilty verdict in the killing of George Floyd.
What I did feel was the attempt to use this as a galvanizing moment to keep people engaged in these types of protests so that the conversation doesn't disappear.
More from our team of WSJ reporters, plus the next set of challenges in vaccinating the U.S. and a soccer league meltdown in Europe. It's Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal with the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. There is a lot of reaction to yesterday's verdict as former police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter in the killing of George Floyd. First to Minneapolis.
You might want to know what justice looks like. Well, you got a glimpse today. You got a glimpse today.
Crowds gathered outside of Cup Foods, the grocery store that Floyd visited before being arrested by police. The Journal's Aaron Aylworth described the scene.
People were just really wandering around, looking at murals and listening to speakers who were still talking about justice and how today's verdict was a huge step forward, but that there are still three police officers who need to go on trial. And so really, you know, that's the next step. And then, of course, seeking justice for others who have been involved in fatal police encounters.
WSJ reporter Joshua Jamerson has a closer look at how the Black community is responding to the verdict and concerned that it could be an isolated event.
For a lot of Black Americans that we spoke to, the conviction of Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd inspired a lot of relief, and there was a lot of, for lack of a better word, celebration in the streets and in people's homes as they watched the verdict come down. But there was also this overwhelming sense that maybe this was an anomaly and that this was not a representation of widespread change in the justice system.
These issues were also touched upon by President Biden when he spoke after the verdict.
This can be a giant step forward in the march toward justice in America. Let's also be clear that such a verdict is also much too rare. For so many people, it seems like it took a unique and extraordinary convergence of factors. A brave young woman with a smartphone camera. A crowd that was traumatized witnesses, a murder that lasts almost 10 minutes in broad daylight for ultimately the whole world to see, officers standing up and testifying against a fellow officer instead of just closing ranks, which should be commended, a jury who heard the evidence carried out their civic duty in the midst of an extraordinary moment, under extraordinary pressure. For so many, it feels like it took all of that for the judicial system to deliver a just basic accountability.
Chauvin's defense attorney, Eric Nelson, on Tuesday afternoon didn't answer a question about whether he planned to appeal. Corporate leaders are also weighing in on the verdict. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But first, in Columbus, Ohio, police released body cam footage of an officer shooting and killing a Black teenage girl who appeared to be swinging a knife at two other people. Protesters marched in Columbus after the shooting, which happened just minutes before the verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin was read in Minneapolis, according to the Associated Press. Columbus police said state law allows officers to use deadly force to protect themselves or others, and investigators will determine whether the shooting was lawful. Business leaders from many different sectors are also responding to the guilty verdicts in Derek Chauvin's trial. The WSJ's Patrick Thomas has reaction and context.
We heard from a lot of different corporate leaders, chief executives from Apple to General Motors, PricewaterhouseCoopers. A variety of companies spoke out on Tuesday in the wake of the guilty verdict. Tim Cook from Apple tweeted a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. The Business Roundtable, which is a group of big businesses that includes CEOs from JP Morgan, Walmart, Best Buy, they put out a statement. General Motors CEO Mary Barra, she called the guilty verdicts a step against bias and injustice. We heard from the CEO of Cisco, Chuck Robbins, who wrote on Twitter that it was a horrific murder that rocked us all. It's become much more common for CEOs to get involved with issues of race and diversity. So I think this was almost a little expected that corporate America was expected to weigh in.
Some other business headlines to share. First, the chat startup Discord has ended its talks to sell itself to Microsoft and other suitors. This is according to people familiar with the matter who also say talks with Microsoft could be rekindled in the future. They said Discord is performing well and prefers to stay independent at this time. It comes as Discord resumes interest in a potential IPO down the line. And Netflix said subscriber growth for the first quarter was weaker than expected. It's a potential warning sign for the company as consumers in many countries start to emerge from pandemic-related lockdowns and as streaming competition increases. Just ahead, we're seeing progress in COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S., but challenges still loom. More after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
President Biden is expected to talk today about the pandemic, his administration's response, and where the country stands with COVID-19 vaccinations. More than a quarter of the U.S. population has been fully vaccinated, with half of adults having received at least one shot. And now all adults are eligible for the vaccine. For a look at the lingering issues and how the administration says it'll tackle them, we're joined by our White House reporter, Sabrina Siddiqui. Hi, Sabrina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sabrina, you've covered the White House response to COVID-19 from the beginning. With vaccines now widely available, what are some of the lingering issues that the Biden administration will need to address?
Well, I would say that on the one hand, we've seen the pace of vaccinations dramatically increase in the United States, where, you know, an average of 3.1 million doses were administered a day over the past week, according to CDC data. But there is still a question around vaccine hesitancy and the segment of the population that is reluctant to get vaccinated. There is also the question of looming variants, which are spreading in the U.S. or emerging in other countries and could make their way to the U.S. The data, of course, is unclear on just how much these vaccines that are currently available protect people against variants. And then, of course, there's the question of supply down the road. Right now, the vaccine is not yet approved for children, but it will be. And so what will the administration, the Biden administration, planning look like as it has to inoculate children from coronavirus? So I think these are a few of the questions as you look ahead in the coming months.
Let's talk more about the issue of requiring vaccination and exemptions for either religious or health reasons. Where does the administration stand on this for the broader population, but also looking ahead for children?
The White House has been reluctant to really wade into the issue of exemptions. I think what you've seen is more broadly the Biden administration just emphasize that they believe everyone should get vaccinated against COVID-19, but they don't want to enter into litigation. Of course, when it comes to children specifically, none of the available vaccines have been approved for children, so they don't have to deal with the question around most public schools and whether or not they're going to require children to be vaccinated. That might be an interesting fight to watch down the road. But we're a ways away from the vaccine being approved for children, and for some of these longer term questions about whether or not the Biden administration will have enough supply on hand for children the same way they did for adults, and what they're going to do if and when there's a debate over whether or not there should be exemptions in schools and other places.
As you mentioned, the data shows progress is being made on the vaccination front. Still, some Americans are either anti-vaccination, period, or skeptical about the safety of the COVID vaccines. How does the White House plan get everyone or as many people possible on board?
So this is a challenge that the White House has been dealing with for some time. How do you overcome vaccine hesitancy as well as access? There's also a barrier to access. And so you've seen the administration take steps such as deploying mobile units and partnering with community health clinics to try and get the vaccine out to these underserved areas and also educate people on its efficacy and its safety. They're also dealing with hesitancy, though, in rural areas. That's where you've seen a bigger problem, because the White House does not believe that it is necessarily the best messenger in more rural and conservative areas, especially those who voted for former President Trump. So what they've done is they've kind of partnered with messengers who have more of a conservative following, like NASCAR, like the Christian Broadcasting Network, country music stars, and tried to get some of these groups and individuals with more of a rural or conservative following to promote the vaccine, to get vaccinated on camera, and to kind of locally push the vaccine and its importance on the ground. But, you know, a big question is, can they get to herd immunity? And, you know, it's probably going to take more than an ad campaign.
And finally, Sabrina, the pandemic is a global issue. And while progress is being made in the U.S., in some parts of the world, including Europe, vaccination is a slow-moving effort. Does the White House have any plans to help facilitate the international vaccination effort?
Well, there have been some questions around what the Biden administration is doing to support vaccination efforts in other countries. So far, that support has been purely financial. The Biden administration has announced that it's going to make a $4 billion contribution to COVAX, the global vaccination effort. But they haven't really said much about when they will be donating, for example, surplus doses, and which countries they will donate those doses to. They did say they will be donating some of the AstraZeneca stockpile to Canada and Mexico, because AstraZeneca is not expected to be approved in the U.S. for some time. But there's been a lot of focus on low-income countries who, according to available data, have been administering just 0.2% of the 700 million global doses. So Biden, on the one hand, has said that it's a global pandemic and we have to defeat the virus overseas and around the world in order to truly overcome it. But they haven't really yet outlined a plan to shift from inoculating the American public to more extensively and more comprehensively supporting vaccination efforts overseas.
The Wall Street Journal's White House reporter, Sabrina Siddiqui, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And finally, a lucrative plan to reimagine soccer in Europe has collapsed in sudden and dramatic fashion. The Journal's European sports reporter Joshua Robinson has more.
It was really 48 of the craziest hours in recent soccer memory. A group of 12 clubs from around Europe tried to break away and form their own Super League, essentially to chase larger payouts and lock in their status as the game's elite forever. But what they hadn't counted on was a massive backlash from fans, other teams, and even national governments. And so after 2 days of anger, it all came crashing down on Tuesday evening as the six teams involved from England all pulled out one by one.
The idea of a Super League had been kicked around in European soccer for a while by executives who had one eye on professional sports across the pond. What they saw in the NFL was a model for making money from modern sports. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, follow the day's news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.